From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made with an American football coach turned English soccer coach. It was made with shy smiles and so-called meet cutes. And it was made with possibly one last Halloween heist. I'm talking about TV or streaming shows, Ted Lasso, Modern Love, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, respectively. On Monday, Vulture published a list of 25 notable new releases over the next 2 weeks. It includes movies, art, books, music, theater, and what we would call TV shows. The last category is the focus of this hour. What's new and what's hot in the realm of TV or streaming? A number of popular shows are making their return, and new series are in the mix and could become fan favorites. Now, experts say competition among streaming services is fierce. Last month, MarketWatch reported that Netflix is about to show us what a mature streaming service looks like. The company grew with rapid speed during the pandemic in 2020 as more people stayed home and binged shows and movies. Earnings dropped in the first quarter following that year of growth, and now the company is expecting a quarter that's even worse. That doesn't mean it's not popular, it's just there's a lot more competition. Disney Plus, Peacock, Apple TV, all adding new content, cheaper prices, deals for new subscribers. So what about cable? Am I the last dude with cable? Is this it? Is this all we done here? Is appointment viewing still a thing? Our guests take a look at the current TV landscape and weigh in on the future of the medium. Plus, we talk about the shows they think you should be watching. I'd like to welcome our guest now. Dapreena Godbuldo is an associate producer for Condé Nast, and it's great to have you back here. Last time we talked about stuff that was not fun. This is going to be fun.
Right.
I'm really excited to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Maddie Ulrich is a PhD student in visual and cultural studies at the University of Rochester. Maddie, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Todd Sedano, associate professor of media and communication at St. John Fisher College. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Evan. Glad to be back.
Do we still say TV shows, Todd?
It's so funny you say that. I was watching something on Apple TV last night. I'll tease it. We'll talk about it later. And one of the columns is for TV shows on Apple TV. And my first thought was, that's kind of old school. That's not really what they are now.
Yeah.
I didn't have a good substitute for it, but TV show seems a little outmoded.
But if Apple's calling it TV shows, Apple TV, we can still say TV shows.
We
know what we mean.
Yeah, but you still have cable, so, I mean.
You cut cable when?
Just a couple of months ago.
And how has your life? Are you okay?
I feel light, Evan. I feel unburdened. I mean, the birds are singing. My wallet is thicker because I have a lot more money in my pocket.
But isn't it so much fun to deal with, like, the Time Warners of the world? Do you not miss it? The Spectrums?
It's amazing how nice they were when I asked Spectrum could cancel.
Yeah,
it was
right.
A five-minute phone call.
You
not.
No, it was not.
Okay, I had to tell them I was leaving the country.
I did the same thing.
Did you really?
Yes.
Okay. Were they like, you got to tell us why you're doing this, and we're going to give you 30 options. None of them are really good, but we can't let you go. Was it like a hostage situation?
I went into it already doing the same strategy where I said, I'm moving to Canada.
You lied about moving out of the country.
I did.
Did you actually say that too, Todd?
Yeah. They asked me where, and I told them I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And did it work with you, Maddie?
It did. They asked no questions, and I was able to... Granted, I was not cutting cable. I was actually just getting rid of my Spectrum internet service. But yes, I did the same strategy, and it was successful.
They must think half their customers are moving to Europe or something. I mean, that's probably like a common excuse now. It works.
I recommend it.
Okay. See, look, that is a great tip for Connections listeners who are trying to cut cable and feel like they will not let you go. You just got to move out of the country.
Life hacks on Connections.
Exactly. As a communication professor, it doesn't impact you not having cable?
Not yet. It is summer. And once I start teaching again, it might make things complicated.
Do you just watch Tucker Carlson and clips now online, just instead of watching every night live?
Well, I'm off social too, so I got to talk to people. I have to engage with my fellow citizens in the community and find out what it is that they're watching.
Is that another experiment, off social media?
That might be it. I have a sabbatical this fall. Maybe that'll be my research project.
I honestly think that's totally interesting. Caitlin Flanagan wrote a piece for The Atlantic this summer, 28 Days Off of Twitter. and she felt like it was like, you know, she needed like a detox. It's amazing what social media and some of these services do. And yet every time I see Deprina Godboldo on there, you're just having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you've got it figured out some way, like where it's not like it doesn't seem to be impacting you mentally negatively.
No, I mean, it's actually one of my second jobs to be on social media. So, I mean, it's just regular for me. So and that's so why
you're not cutting out. But you don't have cable?
No, I had cable since 2016.
Miss it at all?
No, not at all.
Does anybody under the age of 30 have cable? Can somebody tell me, like, I was thinking the other day, like, who's going to be the last person with cable? In the same way I thought, who is the last person who made a call with a prepaid phone card? I want to, like, talk to them. Remember that was, like, a thing for a while? Call and collect and all that stuff. At some point, someone's going to be the last person with cable, though I'm sure someone from Spectrum's going to call and say, no, and now that we know that Maddie and Todd were lying, they're going to hook you right back up. Maddie Ulrich, by the way, it's U-L-L-R-I-C-H. Right. If you want to find out that she lied about that. Now, do you now, what's your consumption habit? I want to talk about how we actually do consume here. What is your typical sort of media show, movie consumption? How do you do it?
So because I study television, I actually keep a list of shows that I either would like to start watching or ones that maybe kind of fall off my radar that I have to pick back up later on. And I basically kind of rotate through different streaming services. So I would say the biggest one that I probably use is HBO. We were talking a little bit about the White Lotus before we started today.
That's one of the shows. We're going to talk about shows coming up here.
Yes.
Apparently
yes.
That's a show.
Yes.
Really,
you have cable, Evan. Where's HBO?
I know,
in this?
Man. I don't know. I just read news all day. It's terrible. I have no life.
But I will say, since we were just talking about social media, that one of the ways that the primary way that I find out about new series is from following other people who are interested in television, whether it's writers themselves or people who work in news media who talk about television, seeing their recommendations and kind of what they're saying about different series. And then I would say, too, Apple TV has been one that has like kind of recently come on my radar as a subscription service that I think is doing kind of interesting work. So
are you, Maddie, do you say I will get this subscription service if there's a show that I feel like I can't miss? For me, I got Apple with Ted Lasso, you know, as an example. Is that how it works with you and frankly people your age?
Absolutely. I would say I think one show can sell an entire subscription to a viewer for sure.
Okay. Todd, how about you? What's the typical habit like? You know, you made that change out of cable, but what's your consumption habit like?
Well, it's important we're having these conversations looking at the whole landscape of TV, right? Because that's how we get to understand why cable subscriptions have gone down and how these subscription video on demand services, these SVOD ones, have skyrocketed. And it's interesting that you positioned first that Netflix is enjoying such great growth. But more recently, in the second quarter, they did not enjoy as much growth as they expected to. Their second quarter, they only had a couple of million more subscribers, which is not as many as they were expecting. Same for the first quarter. So there is this glut of all of these services now that are being offered. So what I'm doing, I don't know if this is what Maddie's doing, if this is what you've done, Evan, I'll be binging on Ted Lasso, catching up on that, The Morning Show, which is the show I was watching yesterday on Apple TV. And then once I'm done with that, then it's time maybe to cancel that subscription in favor of some of the others are calling for my attention. And
which,
calling by for my
forgive
money.
My ignorance, this is a serious question because I was exactly thinking about this issue. You can do that, right? You can go month to month on these, or they make you commit for 3 months, 6 months. I don't even remember.
I think you go week to week.
Week to week. Okay, so you can literally binge a show, pay to watch whatever that amount of time, and then you're off it if there's nothing else you want. Right.
Let me interrupt there. You're not even paying sometimes. I binged on Yellowstone on Peacock with a free 1 week trial to catch up on all three seasons of that show.
Dude,
and
people
got to
get paid for their work.
This is my job, Evan. As my friends like to tease me, I'm a doctor of entertainment.
You are. And so you're finding ways to watch that is cost effective for you. Are you paying less than you did on cable?
I'm looking at the numbers. I'm paying $91 a month for Hulu, $9 for Netflix, $50 for Greenlight, which is my internet service, $128 for Amazon for the year, but I'm still not paying Spectrum $160.
So it's close to a wash, it looks like.
Yeah, but that 160 did not include internet. And
You're saving still.
I'm saving.
You're definitely paying less.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything that you miss most on cable?
There was something grounded about turning on the TV and either having local TV on or the New York Yankees, Evan. Sorry, not your Cleveland teams.
Yeah. That's okay. But
that was wallpaper in my house.
Oh my gosh. So I mean we're probably around the same age, and when I go back to Cleveland and see my parents, it's like my mother has to have a television on all the time. Even if she's not in the room. I walk around that house turning televisions off. And then she'll be like, "Why did you do that?" And I'm like, "Well, why is it on? Like, also it's beautiful. What are we doing here? Why?" If I call her and I haven't talked to her in 2 weeks, you know what she'll say? She'll say, "You know that Survivor's on. Why are you calling me when Survivor's on?" This is what my mother will do. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I would think there's something generational with that, I think.
Definitely.
Because they kind of came into life with that. Do you find that at all, Dabrina?
Yeah, somewhat. Because a lot of people, things are nostalgic for them. Mm-hmm. So even if they don't care to watch it no more, it's part of their routine. So they're just going to watch it anyway. So it's kind of like, kind of falls into what they grew up with. I mean, TV came out 1954? So a lot of the people grew up with it. It was their babysitter. So right. It's like a
companion.
Yeah, it's like another person in their house. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of drives me crazy. But I do think you're right. I think it's just like a safety blanket for my mom. I can say this. She's not listening. She's in Mexico. She shouldn't be, but she is. She's on vacation. So I love you, Mom. We're talking about the way our habits are changing. What are your habits, Dabrina?
Actually, so all my streaming services are they're actually on a TV, even though I don't watch the actual TV, you know? So I use a Fire Stick.
Okay.
And so all my apps are through there. Or if I can't get a certain app on a Fire Stick, then I actually have the HDMI cable from my laptop to my TV because it just feels good to watch it on a bigger screen than my little 13-inch MacBook. But I am a hardcore binge watcher, okay? Like I have a order on how I watch my shows. And it's always like, kind of like you check Netflix first, then you check Amazon, then you check HBO, then I check Hulu, right? Hulu comes free with my phone service. I need to check all of those, then make a list on what shows I want to watch. And then after I've checked all of those shows, then I decide on what show I'm going to watch. And it also has to be more than 2 to 3 seasons in, because I hate disappointment when I find out they get canceled. And if you got canceled already, then I won't watch it for at least a few years because you got time. So I have a whole...
That's quite a system.
I know.
So are you a completist? If you watch one episode of a show, you got
to
watch them
all. I need to watch the whole thing. Like, I didn't even sign up to HBO until the Issa Rae show got canceled. So then I've been watch all 5 seasons like that. Like, I think I just finished... The medical show, I always forget the name of the shows, but everybody is watching Shonda Rhimes' show. Grey's Anatomy. I binge watched 14 seasons.
Oh,
then I waited. It only took me a month. I binge watched 14 seasons. Then I waited because clearly they didn't get canceled. So now I'm going to wait till they actually get canceled to watch 14 through.
It's not going to get canceled. Here's why. The top 2 broadcast network shows of the last year that are not sports are NCIS, which just finished its 18th season, and Grey's Anatomy, which just finished its 17th.
This is an honest question. It's still on?
Yes.
Evan, college freshmen have their whole lives been exposed to Meredith Grey and the shenanigans at that hospital.
Yep.
It's the number 2 rated non-sports show in America.
Robin, Megan, did you know that show is still on? Did you? You did? You knew that? How did I not know? That was the one that McDreamy was on?
Yes.
McDreamy is probably like a great-grandfather. it's amazing. That show is still on. And that's appointment viewing, right? Because, like, a Thursday? They're still doing Thursday night shows that are like a big lineup. I mean, Megan Mack and I were talking before the program began. She used to love the notion of must-see TV, this competitive block that they were trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Todd, is that even a thing anymore? Is it still important?
No, when you say appointment viewing, I'm already thinking like the TV shows pull down on the Apple TV interface.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. No,
it's just not going to happen that way. It's going to be how Jabrina does it, which is I'm going to watch 2 to 3 seasons of 9-1-1 exactly. over the course of a couple exactly. of weeks.
Or 14 years of Grey's Anatomy in a month. Yep. That is a lot of Meredith Grey.
But, you know, actually, 9-1-1 is the only show that I will not look at my phone. Nobody is allowed to talk to me, call me, or anything. I only call my sister during the commercials so we can talk about what just happened. That's the only show I watch live. The only show.
9-1-1.
And I went to the store and bought an antenna just to actually use my real TV just so I could watch that show live.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right. So let's talk about what's good right now. And so we're going to start there. What is 9-1-1?
9-1-1 is the most amazing show on TV right now, okay? So the main one stars Angela Bassett, who is already, like, amazing. Each show basically is a day in the life of firefighters and the EMT. And they be going through a lot of stuff. Like, it's not so much of the relationship stuff like Grey's Anatomy, but more so the drama stuff. Like, there might be a major flood or somebody gets a hammer stuck through their head and they actually live or something like that. So it's really extreme medical issues and police crime all mixed into one. It's amazing. And then they came out with a Texas version with Rob Lowe, I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, even more amazing.
And these are Ryan Murphy shows. Yeah. The same Ryan Murphy who did American Horror Story and Glee, who's getting tens of millions of dollars, no, hundreds of millions to go to Netflix to create.
So the 9-1-1 spinoff is like a CSI spinoff. It's like a CSI Miami.
It's a franchise.
CSI,
yes.
It's a franchise. Yep. But they're all worth it.
So worth it.
Ugh. Todd, have you seen them?
All of them. I'm a completist. I watch one, I got to watch them all.
Yep.
For better or for worse. Like, okay. I get frustrated. There's a phenomenon in TV watching called hope watching. Which
hoping
we might have
better.
Talked about it at this panel before, where, yeah, you're watching the show hoping it's going to get good, hoping it's going to get better. And for me, sometimes it doesn't happen, but I keep watching.
No, see, no. I don't relate to that at all. There's only a little bit of relating I can do. So I recently watched all 5 seasons of a show called Plebs, which I really, really liked. It's a British show. It's very coarse. Listeners who don't like coarse humor, do not watch the show and think, what is wrong with Evan Dawson? The first 3 seasons were remarkable. And then the cast changed, somebody left, and it just wasn't as good in season 4. And I knew there were 5 seasons. Now, they're British seasons. They're like 6 to 8 episodes. And, you know, it's 22 minutes, so it's fast. But I'm watching season 4 going, all right, I'm going to ride this out all the way through season 5 because I like the first 3. I'm hoping it'll get back to that standard. It never did. But I would not have been a completist if season 4 was the first season. I wouldn't have dragged myself through 5 seasons of that, Todd. Why would you do that to yourself?
There's a certain masochistic relationship for the dedicated TV viewer. I think people...
You're like a book reader, like 30 pages into a book. You're like, I hate this, but I must finish it.
Absolutely. If I hear a bad song on the radio, Evan, you got to show it respect. You got to listen to the bad song.
No, you don't. No, you are wasting your own time.
And those two thoughts can coexist. You don't think I know I've wasted my time?
Yeah, you probably do, but you feel like you've got to see it through. What about you, Maddie? Are you a completist?
Absolutely not. I will.
There you go.
I will stop halfway through an episode if I really just don't feel compelled by the series that I'm watching. And I do wonder, though, if this kind of more hopeful attitude towards TV is kind of an outgrowth of being acclimated to cable, or before that, network television, where you kind of had to rely on waiting for the next episode to see if you would really enjoy a show or not. And I think shows, series back then took a lot longer to take off.
That's a great point, because you can know pretty fast now.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether it's one episode or even 2 or 3, because you can watch them right away.
Yes.
And then you don't have to plan out like future viewing. You could know. Similar with a book, are you 25 pages in going, I'm not doing this. I'm putting it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Absolutely.
I don't have time for this.
No.
I do not need to finish this.
I think part of it is just because of, yes, the amount of choice we now have, whether it's with novels or with TV, we feel like we can make that judgment call more quickly.
Absolutely. Well, producer Megan Mack loves Cheers and Ted Danson. So I, just to sort of honor Megan, I gave this new Ted Danson show a shot where he's like mayor in L.A. or something.
Oh, this NBC sitcom?
I was like 10 minutes in and I'm like, I cannot. I can't even get through one episode. I thought the acting and writing was so bad that I'm like, I'm not a completist and I'm not a masochist. I'm not doing this to myself. I'm not watching that show. Did that show get canceled? Does anybody know? That probably gone. Yeah, nobody knows. It's not.
There are other Ted Danson vehicles for Megan to watch. I mean, there's The Good Place. There's Bored to Death.
Oh,
did you see Bored to Death?
Good Place is one of the greatest shows ever. But that's over. It's one of the best shows ever. Love that. Okay, so we're going to ask Todd DePreen and Maddie Moore about their picks for, TV viewing, whatever we call this now. Let me just snag a couple of phone calls. Dennis and Henrietta, go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, Evan, just thinking about when you said appointment television, I swear that's the first time I've thought about it in so long because that's what I'm now seeing what Disney Plus is doing with these Marvel movie-based shows. We thought we were going to get frustrated when we learned that all these shows were going to be dropped one a week, and all of my kids were raised on Netflix and binge-watching, so I got to tell you, I found it more compelling when all of a sudden the program was like, yep, you're done abruptly, and I'll see you next week. And it left me with that same feeling from when I was a kid going, ah, dang it, how is this over? This can't be over. I want to see more. But I think maybe, possibly, Marvel and Disney Plus are the only ones that really, at least for my family, the only ones eliciting that sort of, man, I can't wait to watch this show. Because you can't binge it. You don't have a choice until it's done, and then it's there, and that's fine. But I got to tell you, it kind of brought back appointment television for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm Dennis, thank you for that call. That is a great point, and I know Todd wants to jump on that, and there's something that comes right to mind for me. I'll get to it in a second. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, and I think HBO has done this very well. They've resisted the urge and the temptation to binge drop everything. The full drop. Here's the whole season.
Did they do Game of Thrones? Was that HBO?
That was HBO.
Okay. Yeah. And they made you wait for that, right?
Yeah. Every week. And months, if not a couple of years in between seasons. I mean, Sopranos famously had a 2-year, 9-month hiatus in between its seasons. The Wire did the same thing to less press. But the point is, something like HBO Max, they're saying, look, and HBO too, these are two different entities. We should look at them as such. They are releasing this stuff week to week. Even Hacks, the HBO Max original, which just got 15 Emmy nominations a couple of weeks ago, they were dropping 2 per week. So you're getting that fix or that appointment that Dennis is talking about, but also you still have to wait another week now to get the next set of episodes. Apple's doing this, I think, with Ted Lasso every Monday or whenever they're releasing new episodes.
Yeah, and let me ask Taprina and Maddie about that. So you're a binger.
Yeah.
You line it up, like knocking it down like bowling pins.
Yep.
With the exception of 911.
Of course.
But how do you feel, like, are we losing the ability, or not even just the ability, the enjoyment that comes with having to wait? I mean, I have said many times I loved Lost for 5 seasons, and then I've got a bone to pick with Lindelof and Cuse, and I'm going to talk to them someday about season 6. But I wait, and just it was the talking and the speculating in between that you would do that is sort of lost. Do you don't think that's a valuable thing in your viewing?
I mean, again, this is just me because I feel like in 2021 I should be able to do what I want to do.
That's so true.
Don't have to wait if I don't want to.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm great to hear that your show is new and it's coming on, and y'all want me to wait a week. I'm going to wait till y'all end the season. Like, they just ended low-key. It was only like 5 or 6 episodes. I'm going to wait once a week for 6 episodes. No, I'm going to wait for you to end, then I'll just watch all 6. I don't need those, like, that panic, that worry, that wonder. I don't need that in my life. So I'm going to wait till you finish or till you cancel, and then I'll just get everything I need right there.
But you're on social, so how do you avoid the spoilers?
Oh, I avoid them all the way. Like, if I'm one of those people that I will, like, no updates for 30 days. I use all the stuff on Facebook that you need to use, trust and believe. So I don't have too many people on my timeline that give me spoilers, but you will get, you know, blocked for 30 days. So that's how I do it. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Smart. Maddie, what about you? I mean, do you think there's something lost in not having and being able to binge the way we do?
Yes. I actually am starting to now appreciate more this kind of forced waiting period between when a show releases their episodes. HBO, I think, is the prime example. And I also think that this new popularity of the limited series is also creating the same kind of anticipation effect where you're given a series and you're like, this is the one season, the one kind of opportunity I have to watch this show. It's being released in weekly installments. So there's something very kind of ephemeral about that. Like, it's recreating that kind of original television experience of like the special event.
Yeah, that's a great point. And look, I'm going to out myself here when I take this phone call from Paul in Brighton. I'm on board with Duprina. I'll explain in a second. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello, Evan. How are you?
Good, sir.
Number one, stop scolding your mom. If she wants to watch TV, that's her business. All right? Because she probably lets you watch a fair amount of TV when you were growing
My
up.
My mother is the best. You're right. My mom
right.
is the best.
I was very upset to hear that. All right. Now, Ted Lasso, I'm a non-completist, and I don't really actually watch that much, but Ted Lasso was must-see TV last season. I don't know if you've seen the first two episodes, and I hate to spoil,
nope.
but I'm going to. It's the first two episodes are horrible. They've completely – is mojo still a good term? They've completely lost their mojo. They're dropping – clues like Easter eggs all over the place. This is going to be the season of the reconciliation with the dads. All this dad stuff is getting dropped, and it's just there's been about 2 minutes of football. It's horrible. I'm done. I've watched two episodes, and
wow.
I will not be going back.
Wow, that's very interesting.
They got, yeah, they just it's well, I don't know. Like I said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your answer if you've seen them or not. But what a disappointment. And I will listen off air. But again, stop scolding your mom.
I promise, Paul. Thank you. It's a good reminder. No, I've got the best mother. Everybody knows she's the best. On the subject of Ted Lasso, so two Fridays ago, the new season drops, but it doesn't drop the season. It's one episode every Friday, right? Is that right?
I forget which day.
I think it's Friday.
Okay.
So now two have come out. Third one comes out tomorrow. Duprina, I'm waiting until more come out so I can watch chunks of them together.
Yeah.
I have not. I admit it.
Yep.
So I, as much as I'm laughing, I'm like, oh my gosh, Duprina's so right. So I have not seen the new season. I will say it was a phenomenon, and I've got a clip I want to play from it in a second here. I will say, Paul, that what I think made this show so wonderful is that it found a way to be edgy but still kind. And that is rare. That is rare. It can't perfectly duplicate that in season two. They're going to have to try new things. I think the core and the heart of the show will probably be there. But maybe after a couple of episodes, maybe I'll be with you and be disappointed. What I can't imagine doing is loving that show first season so much and then getting two episodes into season two going, I'm out. But Paul is out. So the clip that I have is from the first season. And if you haven't seen Ted Lasso, I think this individual scene is my favorite in the show. The concept of the show is that Jason Sudeikis plays an American football coach, as in not soccer. And he gets hired by an English soccer team, a high-level soccer team, to come across the pond and coach English soccer, English, you know, football. And he knows nothing about it. And the reason he ended up getting hired, and he didn't know this, was the couple that owned the team got a divorce, and the ex-wife wanted to embarrass her ex-husband, who loved the team. She wanted the team to be terrible. She wanted them to be a laughingstock. So she hired this guy, played by Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, to come over, knowing that he'd be awful, knowing that the team would tank, and knowing that it would embarrass her ex, who she wanted to hurt. Turns out, though, everybody loved Ted as a person, and he was kind and patient, and he grew. And she grew to like him, and she grew to feel awful about what she had done. And finally, she goes into his office, and she feels like she has to tell him, knowing that he could quit on the spot, knowing that he could walk away or be angry or the relationship could be severed. So this is her telling Jason Sudeikis' Ted Lasso the truth.
Ted, I lied to you. I hired you because I wanted this team to lose. I wanted you to fail. And I sabotaged you every chance I've had. It was me who hired that photographer to take the photo of you and Keely. I set up the interview with Trent Crim, hoping that he would humiliate you. And I instigated the transfer of Jamie Tart, even though you'd asked me not to. This club is all that Rupert has ever cared about, and I wanted to destroy it. to cause him as much pain and suffering as he has caused me. And I didn't care who I used or who I hurt. All you good people just trying to make a difference. Ted, I'm so sorry. If you want to quit or call the press, I'll completely understand.
I forgive you.
You what? Why?
Divorce is hard. And it doesn't matter if you're the one leaving or if you're the one who got left. It makes folks do crazy things. Hell, I'm coaching soccer, for heaven's sake.
In London.
I mean, that's nuts. Yeah. But this job you gave me has changed my life. It gave me the distance I needed to see what was really going on. Yeah, but you and me, we're okay.
It's a great scene, because this is a character that, you know, I mean, we have Ted Lasso fans. Is it just me in this room? Yeah? No, just me. Oh, you.
Yeah.
Todd.
Yep.
You know, it was such a thin concept. It was a goofy, quirky, thin thing that I kind of watched the first episode thinking I would quit the show. And I was surprised at how much depth it had and how much depth it picked up. And that scene, you have to earn a scene like that. You know, you have to really work hard to create the characters that can pull a scene off like that to not make it cheesy or trite. And they earned it, I thought. So I am excited for the second season, despite what Paul tells me. But I thought, I don't know if I'm allowed to say Schitt's Creek. It's not since that show, I never know what I'm allowed to say, that I thought kindness and edge can go hand in hand. And I loved that about that show.
You use the word earn, which is such a great word to describe today's television viewing experiences. And Maddie talks about the forced anticipation and having to wait to watch programs, whether it's days or weeks or whatever. That concept or that social construction of earning that moment kind of disappears, I think, if you're binging on something. And I've watched a number of episodes.
No, I binged Ted Lasso and I still felt they earned it.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
That first season I binged it.
Because that week in between, I mean, to me, that is still glorious. Like, to talk about and think about The White Lotus from Sunday and have 7 days to deconstruct it, to send messages to friends, to read critical recaps of it. If I go straight to the next episode, I lose that instantly. And then I stop thinking about that episode. And then I move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. It's enjoyable to have that gap.
In many ways, though, for the shows that are still week to week, they've got to earn viewership even more, whether it's 911 or whatever, because you have so many more options now. It is a very different landscape. Mm. So talk about earning it. I mean, if you're coming back to Prina week to week and you never do that, 911 clearly has earned something.
Oh,
you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's got to be next level, right?
Oh, I'm telling you, you got to watch this show. It's coming back this fall, okay? I'm talking every episode, whether it's, you know, you find out the girl who have, I don't want to give nothing away just in case, but one of the women was pregnant. You don't know if something's going to happen to her baby. Like, and they end it right there. So you got to come back next week to see, did she survive? Did the baby survive? Did the baby daddy ever find out? Like, you know, it's just so much going on. And each one is always, it's not just one thing happening. It's always like two or three events happening all in that whole, you know, 45 minutes. So.
Well, after we take our only break, we'll talk about White Lotus. Because that's the one I don't know. I don't know that one. And I'm sure our guests have other recommendations. I have one more recommendation on a show that I'm very excited is coming back next month. So it's all coming back on the other side here with Deprina Godboldo, who's an associate producer for Condé Nast, Todd Sedano from St. John Fisher College, Maddie Ulrich, a student in visual and cultural studies, PhD student at the University of Rochester. We're right back with them next. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, when Simone Biles decided to withdraw from most of her Olympic competitions, the decision was met with both praise and criticism. It reopened discussions about mental health, athletes, and the kinds of standards they are held to. Are they unrealistic? unfair? What is a healthy balance? The experts weigh in. We'll talk with you on Friday.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back to Connections. Another aspect of the way our viewing habits change is this. I cannot be the only one who watches a show, binges it maybe, and then you love it, but then it's done. And then it could be a year, or I don't know, like Sopranos, like 2.5 years, or whatever it is until the next season. So I've been waiting for a long time for a show called Sex Education to come back to Netflix. And it's finally coming back next month. I've got to go back and rewatch at least a few episodes going now. I cannot be the only one who does that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I almost always go back and watch the entire season, previous season, before I watch a premiere for a new season of a show.
The cast for Sex Education is huge, and it's really, really well cast, interesting, smart. My one concern is the one mini trailer. I thought my favorite character was, see, I got to go back and pick up the characters' names. Otis was Gillian Anderson's son, his best friend, the black queer character who's the best character in the show. I didn't see him in the trailer.
Really?
So I was like, oh, he better be in the show. So I don't know. But anyway, it's coming back next month. I love it. You like that show.
Absolutely.
What do you love about it?
I really love British television, and I've noticed that not necessarily Netflix, but Hulu actually is now starting to stream a lot of like Channel 4 shows, some BBC ones, which I don't think are as good, but they are very similar to this kind of Sex Education series where you have these shorter episodes that are just really jam-packed with, I would say, great humor, dry British humor, culturally very relevant. So yeah, they're just really, really great little shows.
See, Plebs is on that line, though coarse. Very coarse. So Sex Education can be coarse at times, but it's also, I don't use this word ironically. Like, it is, I was going to say woke, but it's a pretty enlightened show. It is smart, it's tough, but it's kind as well. What I loved is in the second season, there was a character with a disability, and the disability had nothing to do with the character's plot. He was just a love interest, and it was great. Instead of making the disability all about what that person was about. It was just a smart show. Really good show. White Lotus is what? What is this White Lotus that?
You just used the word enlightened. I mean, you're the king of the segue here. Mike White, who created Enlightened, which was on HBO about 8 years ago, people loved it. It was a fantastic show. One season. Laura Dern was the main actress behind it. It was canceled, and now Mike White has done The White Lotus, which is a show about a number of families who are taking a cruise, not a cruise ship.
They go on a ferry to an exclusive resort in Hawaii, and it is this. I would say the genre of the show is suspense. Really, it's kind of a eerie, unsettling kind of vibe, and they all are just kind of, they're at this resort, they're forced together by these circumstances of all just being on vacation, and it's kind of about their negative interactions, and
it opens up with one character staring out at an airport gate and seeing a box, a coffin being loaded into the plane, and you're supposed to, I guess, guess who that might be.
Yes.
In that box.
Very HBO in that way, starting with a death in the first episode that you don't know who it is, and so you're kind of,
yeah, like half those shows start with either sex or death, like the first scene. You know, how many seasons have we seen so far of this?
We've
just
seen
the first season,
four episodes so far. And very HBO also, the way it's shot, the way it's directed and edited, it's not fast. It's slow burning television. The editor does not have a quick trigger finger in deciding when to go to the next shot. So you really feel immersed into this milieu of the series.
People are asking me about how much time I have to watch binge shows. I don't. I really don't. I mean, I'm mostly just reading for work. That's why, you know, on occasion on the weekend, it's like just cram in some binge time.
See, Evan, you just made the point that I was going to make about the gap it takes for these good shows to be produced. Okay, my mother and I and my dad, we were huge Sopranos fans when this was on the air. My mom would get upset. She's like, how come it's taking forever for them to put out a new season of the show? This is the same woman who's watched every General Hospital for the last 40 years. And I would say,
yeah,
it takes time to make good episodes of The Sopranos. General Hospital, maybe not so much, which is why they're able to churn them out every single day, right? You can't do Connections just showing up to work every day. Same principles apply. We have to be patient. It's going to take time. The Morning Show, I think it will have been almost 2 years since that show.
Is that still on?
It's coming back next month for season two.
Is that with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it worth watching?
Yes.
It's good?
Yes. It's great.
It's about morning television. That was like my past life of mine. I don't need to go back there. It's good, though.
For you, it may be bad.
I was resistant to it at first. I had a friend recommend it because it's kind of in my niche of shows that I research. And I ended up being, really drawn in by the series.
Sometimes I get nervous that if I like something, I have to commit to it. So the last time that happened was in the pandemic. I watched the first episode of Veep, and I'm like, well, I'm watching all six seasons of this because it's amazing. And I did. And I wish I could erase my memory and go back to the beginning of Veep because I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's hard. The more seasons there are, the more I feel like I have to love it. I'm like the opposite of a completist because that's a lot of time, and I don't have a lot of time. So White Lotus is new, so I can at least that's like a short amount of time. What else is on there? What are you excited about? Daprina, Todd? Daprina?
I'm excited. I mean, this might be a little bit for my superhero people, but Stargirl. So Stargirl first came out, I think it was during the pandemic last year. And it's basically kind of like Teenager, kind of revamping the whole Stargirl, the original Justice League. So it's like a TV.
DC Comics? It's not Marvel.
No, it's DC. I be mixing them up sometimes, too. So I understand what you mean by that. But it's, the CW kind of coined the whole superhero matrix. Like, I don't even, some of those shows been on for years. Like, they just recast, Batwoman? They just recast that. But I'm looking forward to Stargirl. It's kind of like hitting some old school, superhero Justice League type stuff again, because I live in a household where I have to watch superhero stuff, so it kind of attached to me over time.
You actually came to like it?
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much.
Did your husband know that?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, you have to, find a compromise. So it's TV, superheroes, put it together.
But you have to pretend you don't like it, and you're just gritting through it so he can watch what you like.
No, I grow to love it, though. Like, Stargirl was a really good show. It's like literally like the old school show where you take teenagers and you make them like superheroes. But, that show can only last so long because they won't be teenagers in 3 to 4 years. Then they might become adults. So it's like that future. I got to process, y'all. It's the process of watching shows is why I like them, and like the potential for them to be even better. So,
All right. What else for you, Todd?
The show Billions on Showtime is finally coming back.
Everybody loves Billions. I've never seen it.
There's a lot of seasons, so it may be homework for you, which you may not be interested in.
Is that a Brian Koppelman show?
Yes.
Okay. So what's it about?
It's about the inner workings of government by way of an investment firm in New York City, and just the power dynamics between and among all of these folks. It's kind of like The Good Wife in the way that The Good Wife was not at all about just Juliana Margulies' character. It was about the inner political machinations of Chicago for that particular show. But it got interrupted by Billions, that is. It got interrupted by COVID last March, and it's finally coming back a year and a half later. And one of my other favorites currently, which is I think has been produced, they just haven't put it on the air yet, on the air, another outdated word, Cobra Kai. On Netflix.
Cobra Kai. Yeah.
So if you're unfamiliar with Cobra Kai and you've seen The Karate Kid, the original with Ralph Macchio and William Zabka and Pat Morita from 1984, this has those two main characters, Daniel-san and Johnny, meeting up again 35 years later.
Same actors?
Same actors.
Same ones, yep.
And it is fantastic.
Is it funny?
It is funny. It is, to use your words, edgy but kind. like Ted Lasso.
Is it sort of like cheeky, like laughing at itself a little bit?
It does. It does tickle the nostalgic funny bone, but it is also accessible to new viewers, and it is great.
Okay, Cobra Kai, high on the list there. Phil writes to say, I pay for cable just to watch Jeopardy. Everything else I stream, how can I watch Jeopardy if I cancel cable? You can watch past seasons of Jeopardy. I don't know about the new one. And by the way, I can't believe the outrage. So Jeopardy is apparently in advanced negotiations to finally hire a permanent host, a fill-in. It's not a fill-in. It's the next host after the death of Alex Trebek. And they're apparently in advanced negotiations with the guy who used to be their executive producer, who they just threw out there to host a few episodes and people loved him. So but now there's like this outrage that, well, they're just hiring from within. What was the point? They should have hired LeVar Burton. And I have not followed this very much. I didn't know if Aaron Rodgers wanted the job or what was going on there. But the Jeopardy Wars, Ken Jennings, who should be the host, it was very emotional for people. So I guess I've got to replug into Jeopardy. They've done a good job of keeping themselves in the conversation, that is for sure. So Phil says, cable to watch Jeopardy. How can I watch Jeopardy if I cancel cable? So there you go.
But if that's on one of the over-the-air broadcast networks, Evan, he should be able to watch that for free with just a television set and an antenna.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like public television, like any of the other broadcast networks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ralph says, my godson from Dublin, hardly a technological backwater, just arrived for a visit. His first question was about how to top off his prepaid phone. Not a phone card, like a phone.
I have no idea.
Yeah, see?
Like a burner?
It could be like a burner. Yeah, right? Like a one-time use. Ralph, you got to elaborate on that for me. And then he
says, "What's he asking you?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because Dapreen is here, and Dapreen usually fills me in on tech. You don't even know that one.
No, that's like super old school. Maybe Walmart? They might have something for you.
Okay. And then Ralph says, "Is I want to read books a legit reason for cutting the cable?" Yes. I think one of the great things that I was reading this summer, I mentioned Caitlin Flanagan, who went off Twitter for 28 days. She said she started to read long form writing and books again, because of the way social media soaks us up and takes us off of reading. So absolutely yes, absolutely yes. Andrew says, help me, I'm a hypocrite. I preach television is basically evil, and I generally avoid it. That said, I'm addicted to YouTube. Frogs eating frogs, 75 photos you need to see, 5 life-changing hacks, what they don't want you to know, help me. Your kids or grandkids are going to be addicted to YouTube too. They're very good at that, Andrew. That's trouble. Michael says, cable is so last century. Could one of your guests please explain why we have to pay an extra $12.95 for local shows that I can get for free with an antenna? The only thing I miss from cable was the local news channel.
Carriage fees. I mean, that's huge. This is how Spectrum makes a lot of money. What was the emailer's name?
Michael.
Michael, that's a really good question, because what's happening is Spectrum has to charge those networks and those services and those channels to be provided on those packages, in those packages. That costs money. ESPN, for instance, charges far and away more than any other service, any other network, any other channel. They charge for each subscriber about $9. Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting watching, listening to Evan's show right now thinking, I don't care about sports, I don't like ESPN, but I still subscribe to Spectrum, guess what? You're paying about $100 a year just to get ESPN, which you're going to thumb through when you pass through the channels anyway. So they have to package these, and that costs money to get them on those carriages.
Well, Cindy says, we dropped cable for a good digital antenna. Most of what we watch is available there. We also have Chromecast and Netflix for occasional use. And a couple of listeners asking if we've seen Mayor of Easttown. A lot
of
people like,
gosh.
Oh, that's
have
a yes?
Not
I'm not.
It?
Oh,
no.
That is a yes.
This is Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Is that right? So what's the story?
So it takes place in a small town in Pennsylvania, and she plays kind of this, detective, but one who is struggling with the death of her son and basically a cold case that she failed to solve. And so the new case that the show revolves around kind of takes place in the context of her personal life, the death of her son, and very much a show about struggling Rust Belt cities. That's the setting as well.
Wrapped around a murder mystery?
Yes, murder mystery.
Well written?
Very well written. I think at first, I remember the first episode I watched, I was a little bit baffled by seeing Kate Winslet in this role of a kind of unkempt, washed up detective with a Pennsylvania accent. And a lot of people have been making fun of the accents from that show as being
Saturday
inaccurate.
Saturday Night Live, most famously.
Yes. But it is very much like The White Lotus has been kind of in the latter half of the summer where it is released once a week, or it was released once a week. And so there's a lot of anticipation that was built up kind of around the story.
So and that's a thumbs up. Todd, thumbs up for Mare of Easttown?
Yeah. And to Maddie's point earlier, I think before the break, she was talking about limited series. This is the benefit of having limited series. You can get A-list talent for limited engagements.
Oh, that's because there's not going to be another season. This is it. It's contained.
Exactly. It's not going to be 6 or 18 seasons of 22 episode seasons of Grey's Anatomy. It's going to be True Detective with Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson for 10 episodes. It's going to be Kate Winslet for 7 episodes. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget the great Jean Smart, who plays Kate Winslet's mother in Mare of Easttown and is also in Hacks.
So interesting. So that may be an interesting model that we'll see more of in the future. People are asking about Modern Love. I don't know Modern Love. No? Nobody here. No. This is a no Modern Love from... Uh-oh.
It's just the David Bowie song?
Producer Megan Max about to jump in my ear. Based on the New York Times column. Oh, very interesting story. So varied, sometimes tortured relationships and interesting takes on modern romance, modern love. So I guess it's an
anthology series.
Yeah, there you go. And so I have not seen it. See, I haven't seen much. That's why you've all been here.
No, see, here's the thing. 20 years ago, I think it was 2002, right smack in the middle of HBO's golden age, there were 182 original series on American television that were scripted. 20 years later, it is well more than 500. It's not sustainable. Yeah, this is why the head of FX calls it peak TV. It's going to fall off a cliff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What are you watching tonight, Dabrina?
Well, tonight I'm going to finish the last season of Shameless because Shameless just got canceled. So I'm going to finish I'm on the 11th season.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, no
awesome.
Problem.
Maddie, what are you watching tonight?
Oh, gosh. I think I'm going to watch Physical, which is an Apple TV series with Rose Byrne. Highly recommend.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
What are you watching, Todd?
I'll be watching Slow Pitch Softball from Left Field, which is where I'm playing at Cobbs Hill this evening.
Oh, awesome. I think I'm going to take a walk tonight. But I love that. Hey, thanks for being here. Great stuff here. And the whole team here, Rob, MRA, Megan Mack, Evan Dawson saying thanks for listening. We're back with you tomorrow.